So we are in the middle of our series, The Next Chapter. The first week, Scott Pontier, our lead pastor here, he preached on failures and new beginnings. He kind of went through the story of Peter. And it was fascinating. And what I took from that is that we often think of some of the failures. When we think of Peter, we might think of the failures that he went through that happened. And yet God and Jesus continued to use him. And then last week, Tom Ellenboss, our senior pastor of Harbor Churches, he preached on conflict. Okay, and I don't know about you, but as I'm listening to this sermon, and if you haven't heard these two, or you want to hear another sermon, you can go onto our website, you can download it there. But as I'm listening to this, it like starts doing something in me, like, ooh, I have a tendency, I don't know about y'all, but I have a tendency that if conflict arises, I go right at it, and it's not the healthiest. Doing a lot of work on that, which means that sermon series, that series that he preached on was extremely challenging for me. But it was good. But I want to talk about Scott's sermon for a minute, okay? By the way, it's his 40th birthday. How about that? Huh? Right? And if he listens to this, he's going to hear you clapping, so let's get it louder a little bit. All right, there we go. Thank you. But he said something in his sermon that just, like, hit me. I remember sitting over here, I think where you are, Paul. I was sitting right there, and maybe this message will do the same for you, but I was sitting right here, and it just, like, stuck out to me. Something hit me, and I think that's what I love about the Bible is that all of a sudden you can read a scripture many times, and then all of a sudden there's a time where it just jumps out at you. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. It's the Holy Spirit working through God's word. And there was something that he said that leads me to talk about what I want to talk about today, which is pain and suffering. You know, just a light subject. We talked about conflict. Let's talk about pain and suffering now, right? But it's important. I don't think he's talking about when Jesus says that we are going to experience pain and suffering. I don't think he's talking about just kind of the pain and suffering that, I don't know, it's your favorite team loses like Notre Dame and you see them get crushed, but you might actually enjoy that. And if you do, I'm going to pray for you if that's the case. But that's not what he's talking about. What I think Jesus is talking about, what I think you hear John talk about, what you hear Peter talk about, what you hear the disciples talk about is that there is a pain and suffering that happens. Nobody's exempt from it. Nobody is exempt from it. It doesn't matter if you believe or you don't believe. There is every single person in this room has experienced some kind of pain and suffering before. It might be that you identified a lump and you go to an appointment and you have just this guttural fear of what's it going to be? You get a phone call and it's the news that you weren't hoping for. There's pain and suffering. The world is crashing down around you. It could be that you watched your spouse leave for the last time with all their stuff, wondering how did we get to this point? The world is crashing down around you, and you just feel this tremendous amount of suffering and pain. And I want to speak to all the students here. I want to take a minute and speak to each and every single one of you. If you are experiencing any kind of pain, if you're experiencing somebody bullying you, I want you to know that you are not alone, that is a tough thing to go through, and it's a tough enough thing to go through by yourself, but understand that you are not alone in that, that you don't deserve to be treated like that. Maybe you have something going on with your parents, and you just need to talk to somebody, and whatever it is, whatever kind of pain and suffering, I want to take a moment and just say, we want to talk to you about this. Like, this is a tough subject. This is a tough thing to address. And Jesus goes into this, and what we're going to be diving into is really important. It's hard work, but it's really important. I want y'all to know that you are not alone in this, that you have people here, people in this community that love you and care about you and don't want you to go through that alone. Okay? So I mentioned that Scott, there was something that Scott said that he really stuck out to me, and we're going to dive into that. So if you have your Bibles, it's in Matthew 16. Okay, Matthew 16. Every Bible has a table of contents. It doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. If you have to look at table of contents, please know that that is there. My Bible is 2,000 pages, right? That is great for us to know. So if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew 16. And we're going to dive in, okay? So here we go. Verse 21. From that time on, okay? The first four words, from that time on. Something happened before that, right? Something happened, the first four letters or first four words of this scripture, something happened before. What Jesus is indicating is something happened before that. So from that time on, and what happened was Peter was sitting around with Jesus, and Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "You're the Messiah." Jesus says to Peter, when he says that, his response to Peter is, those are words from God. Those aren't words from man. It's fascinating. Could you imagine your rabbi, the person that you look up to, the person that you follow, the person that you love, says to you, those are words from God, that you have a gift. And now that you know that, what he's saying is from that time on, so it's kind of like you understand addition, now you can understand multiplication. You understand that I'm the Messiah. What I'm about to tell you is the next step. It's vitally important what I'm about to tell you. And he continues, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And you kind of, you just skate right on past that. I kind of read that fast, but I want to take a moment and actually dissect it. Jesus explains to them that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to the dead. This is the part that jumped out at me. All of a sudden, I start to realize that Jesus is indicating a process. He separates, did you notice he separates suffering from death to resurrection? He's indicating a process that he wants Peter to understand. This is so vitally important. He's saying, you understand that I'm the Messiah. Now I'm about to tell you something significant. What I'm about to tell you is there is a process that happens in the suffering. And Peter's response to this is a response that I think I might have, that I know I've had. His response is, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Rebuke is like a really strong disagreement to a point of yelling, to a point of saying, no, 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 no. Listen to this. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. This can't happen. We just got over the fact that you are the Messiah. You are the powerful one. You're the Son of God. But what Peter's actually saying is, you're the Messiah, you're the powerful one, you're the Son of God, up until you die. Do you see that? Peter's recognized in the first two steps in the process that Jesus just laid out. There's suffering, there's death, there's resurrection, but Peter, what he's saying is, I don't want you to enter that. I don't want to enter that. You're entering suffering right now, which is going to lead to death, and that's the end. And I think when you start to recognize that, like we often do that too, when we know that suffering leads to death, we're saying we don't want to enter any part of that. And I think this is why Jesus responds the way he does, which is so strong of a comment. He says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." That is a tough comment, especially for somebody who was following Jesus, who was just told that those words that Peter spoke were from God, not from man. Someone that has followed Jesus time and time again. In the moment that he says, and it's not out of concern, like it's not out of lack of concern that he has for Jesus. What he's saying is, Jesus, I love you. I don't want you to enter this. And what Jesus is saying, no, you don't get it. This has to happen. I have to enter this process. You're only recognizing the first two steps. There's a third step. And I think that's why Jesus responded the way that he did. I think what's important for us to realize is that when Jesus is talking about the process, that Peter doesn't want any part of it, and what he's saying is, I think you need to know something about suffering. I think you need to know what's happening here. And throughout the Bible, you have this metaphor that's often used for suffering. It's the desert. And so we're going to dive into the desert, okay? And when you think about desert, you might think of like rolling hills, you might think of the Sahara, but in fact, the picture that's up, this is the desert that we often learn about in the Bible. So Moses, right at the beginning of the Bible, Moses is leading God's people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, okay? And the Israelites were slaves, they were in captivity, they didn't live a free life. And so what ended up happening is Moses leads them out of slavery, leads them out of captivity, and they enter the desert. And they enter a desert that you cannot survive on your own. There are actually three different kinds of deserts that the Bible talks about. This one is the most barren. This is the one that you cannot exist in by yourself. You need God's help in this. And it might make it a little bit easier to understand the Israelites' reaction to this, because in Exodus 16, the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted." Basically, they're saying, if only we had just died on our own. If only we died of old age. If only we had just died at the Lord's hand, then it would be fine. We had all the things we needed. We had all the food we wanted. We didn't lack anything other than freedom. But what they're saying is, why? But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. The suffering that they're going through, they don't want any part of. And I think this is the first thing that Jesus wants us to know about suffering, to know about that process. What he's saying is, I want you to enter it. I want you to enter into the suffering. I don't want you to avoid it. Peter, when you're telling me that I don't have to do this, that I am the Son of God, and you're right, imagine you have God of the universe that can do whatever he wants, and what he's saying is, I need to enter this suffering and this pain, and Peter's saying, I don't want any part of that. I don't want you to enter it. The Israelites are saying, I don't want to enter the suffering and the pain, and what Jesus, I think one of the first things that Jesus wants Peter to know in his response of saying, get behind me, Satan, is, I need you to understand something. Something happens in the suffering. You see, we often try to take control, don't we? Have you ever heard these phrases? You might see them on a poster in an office. If it is to be, it is up to me. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. Right? We hear those. Those are motivational phrases that we often hear, that we often see. And those are good. But I think if we were to take that and we were to use that as a blanket statement for our entire life, what I think we fail to realize is that we don't have control over a lot of things. I think the great boxer and great philosopher, Mike Tyson, said it best. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? That more talks about the lack of control that we have. We think we have control, and then something happens, and we actually realize we don't have control over any of it. When we see the suffering, we actually want to control the fact that we don't want to enter anywhere. We don't want to go anywhere around it. And what Jesus is saying is, you may not have control over what's happening, but you actually have control over how you respond. Peter's response to this is saying, I want to avoid it. The Israelites' response to this is, I want to avoid it. Jesus is saying, you have control over very little, but the thing you have control over is how you respond to it. Does that make sense? Like, this is so vital in what Jesus is teaching Peter in this moment. And I think we often do what the Israelites did. I think we often do what Peter did. It's when you have a child that is making decisions and you don't want them to make those decisions, and you lay awake at night wondering how they are. You have no control over it. But how you respond is so vitally important. It's a marriage that has been together for years, for decades. The kids are out of the house. And then all of a sudden, when there's free time at night, when there's downtime, one goes and does email or watches TV, the other reads a book, and what you realize is there's no connection there. And when you start talking to them, you say, why don't you, do you want to go to a counselor? Do you want to enter into that of what you're going through right now? And they're saying, no, 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 no. And the reason that they might be saying no is because they don't want to enter into the suffering. That might lead to death to something. I don't want to enter. I just want to exist. I just want to do what the Israelites were doing. They wanted to go back to slavery. They just wanted to exist. Jesus says you have no control over a lot of things that are going to happen in your life, but how you respond to that is in your control. And this leads me to the second thing that I think Jesus wanted us to know about suffering. So the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, right? They were in the desert for 40 years, and when you hear this, if you're like me, you're thinking, man, they must have gone a ton, like a long distance. This must have been like a 3,000-mile trek or whatever it is. 40 years in the desert. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 1, verse 2. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. Let me read that again. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. You mean to tell me that the trip that took 40 years was 11 days by road? Does that strike you? Do you wonder why? I did. And I actually found the reason. It was actually in Exodus 13. Listen to what it says about why they went that far. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, this is it, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. They might change their minds and return. Something is happening in the desert. This is the second thing that I think Jesus wants us to know, is that when we enter into the suffering, when we enter into the death, that something happens in those stages. Something happens to us. Something happens in that desert that God wants us to pay attention to. Something that leads us to the third step of resurrection. But you can't have that without the first two. You can't have resurrection without suffering and death. I have a dear friend of mine, and he allowed me to share this story, which says a lot about his character. It says a lot about his growth, and I'll explain why that says a lot about his growth. So this is a buddy that I grew up with, okay, ever since I was a little shooter, like second grade. He and I were hanging out. And I told him just a couple weeks ago, I said, if I reflect back on your life, your childhood, what I would say is the word I would use to describe it is perfect. It was perfect. He was the only child, the universe, literally like his family all revolved around him. He was the center of his family's universe. And I just remember like thinking like, dude, you had it all. You had the new Jordans. You had an unlimited supply of M&Ms and Coke, which to me at that time was like, you had it all. That was perfection in my mind. But there was also very little adversity. You see, his mom passed away when he was in his early 20s. And I reflected back as we were talking, and I told him, I said, I don't remember seeing you cry. I don't ever remember seeing any emotion out of this. This was a tough moment. We were really close to his family, and I don't remember ever seeing that. And then about 4 months ago, his aunt, his mom's sister, passed away. She got sick, and then a couple months later, she passed away. And this was his second mom. And we got together just a couple weeks ago, and he said, hey, he goes, can I talk to you? He goes, not now, because we were with some other friends, but can I talk to you? I want to tell you about something going on. And understand that this is a big deal for him to say that to me. And so I jumped on. I'm like, yeah, of course. And so we got together later on the next week. And he says, mark this down on your calendar, okay? As if to indicate, like, this is a big moment in my life. And I said, oh, yeah. And sure enough, it was one of those moments that will stick out in our relationship for the rest of our lives. He went on to say that the way he responded, the way that he entered the suffering for his mom was to avoid it. But then his second mom, his aunt, passed away. And what he found is that when he entered the suffering, when he entered that death, something started to change in him. He started to feel this emotion that he hasn't felt before. In his words, he says, I have a taste of something that I have never experienced before in my life, and I want more of it. Do you understand? This is the process that Jesus is explaining to Peter. There is suffering, and when you enter suffering, there's going to be death. And for some of us, it's going to be death of something that we're holding on to, that we feel is our identity, that's keeping us down. And what Jesus is saying to Peter is suffering leads to death, which leads to transformation. And what all of a sudden happens after that is you start to experience a new life. That's who God is. That's the redemption story. That's the resurrection story. That is the gospel, the good news, is that suffering and death don't have the last say. What Jesus is explaining to Peter is suffering and death do not have the last say. That is something that some of us have to hear today, that as we are entering suffering and death, that isn't the last word. That isn't the end of the book, that there is actually another chapter. That's not, the ink doesn't run out of the pen at that point. I don't believe we serve a God that wants us to suffer. If we look at who God is, we don't have to look any further than Jesus. And who Jesus was is he came and he lived amongst us and he suffered. He suffered beatings, whippings. He was spat on. And then he was crucified. And that wasn't the end. He died and then he was resurrected. And what we do is we serve a God that meets us in the desert, that is going to prepare a way for us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's not that, though I stay in the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through and God provides. I think that's why Jesus got so upset about Peter's responses. He understood addition and now here's multiplication, but wait a minute, you're not there yet. You understand that those aren't the last two. And I hope today that is a message that rings true for you. I hope today, whatever pain and suffering that you're going through, I hope you realize that that is not the end. That when we look at Jesus' life, when we look at the fact that God came and lived amongst us, and what he did is he showed us that death has no final say in this. Over this series, what we've done, I've heard Scott talk about it, and I've heard Tom talk about it, is that we're going to journal. That's the challenge that they put out, and I want to remain consistent with that. Hopefully, you guys are getting really good at journaling. But I think there's something really important, and what I want us to do is I want us to take a moment this week. And first, if you're going through some pain and suffering, A, I want you to recognize that you're not alone, and I want you to jot down ways that you are not going to be alone, that who God can use in those moments, what you need to do. If it is a counselor, recognize that that's not a sign of weakness. In fact, that's a sign of taking the next step towards redemption, towards healing. I want you to jot down what that looks like for you. And the second thing is, if you're not going through anything, that's okay too. But if we are to be God's hands and feet, if we are to be good news, if we are to live like Christ, what Christ did is he walked with people and he held their hand. If we are to be God's hands and feet and you're not going through anything, what I would ask you to do is journal. Who's God placing on your heart that might be going through some pain and suffering, and what would it look like for you to be good news to them? Can we do that? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that you came and lived amongst us, that you could show us your love anyway, but what you did is you chose to just show a process of suffering and death that leads to transformation. And in fact, God, that leads to new life. And so, God, I just pray that whatever we're going through, whatever is heavy on our heart, whatever pain and suffering, God, that we recognize that we are not alone, that you love us so very much, that you are walking with us through the desert, a barren land that we don't think we can survive in, and God, that you are with us and that you place people in our lives to walk with us through that. And God, we pray all these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.